Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good afternoon. It's Friday. Friday's always a delight. And we've got a guy in studio this afternoon. You know, I've been trying to talk more Hartford stuff because Hartford deserves our attention. And anything that gives us a chance to understand better why the state's so messed up and why the government is so corrupt and has ravaged the state. So that's a good opportunity for us. So I reached out to a guy named Bruce Rubenstein, who is here now. Did I say it right?
You said it right.
Okay. And Bruce is an attorney in Hartford and a longtime politically active person as well. Do you want to do a little quick bio on yourself? Why are you interested in politics? How did that happen?
I developed an interest in politics when I was very young. I was in college in the late 60s and joined a radical student group called Students for a Democratic Society.
Come on, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And we protested the Vietnam War. And I gravitated from that into the Weathermen, which was the violent arm of SDS. And then I calmed down after a while and went to law school and got involved in politics and ran a couple of campaigns and had success in it, enjoyed it. I didn't seek any money. It was all about the fun for me. And it was
the fun, the politics you're talking about?
Yeah, the power and the fun, which had an appeal.
So if you think of the back then, what was it that made you be that college radical? Ideologically, is there? I'm wondering if there's a thread that we could follow through to where you are today politically.
I remember seeing the civil rights stuff on TV, Martin Luther King, and the like. And I went to the 1963 March on Washington as a 15-year-old. My uncle was the head of a radical union, and I visited him every summer for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, he said he had an invitation to this demonstration in Washington, D.C. Would I like to come along? I was 15. I said, sure, why not?
So yes, but is there anything that remains of that drives your politics today?
Oh, yeah. I listened to Martin Luther King, and I knew I was witnessing greatness. You might not like his politics. Some may not like his politics, but I don't think anybody can dispute he's really made a mark one way or the other. And that's began for me. I saw stuff on TV and said, this is interesting and this is fun. And for a teenager, it kind of whetted my appetite, and that's how I got into it. And became my expertise really was not as an elected official. I thought that was boring. I didn't want to do it. Low pay and boring. And what I was interested in was actually running campaigns. The Hartford has had two mayors that are Afro-American. In both of those campaigns, I had a senior role.
Why? I mean, why was that important to you?
Making history made it important to me. I was deputy campaign manager for the first Afro-American mayor in the Northeast for a capital city.
But if you look at, and we'll talk about how you view Hartford today, but if you look at Hartford as, say, it's a disaster in your mind politically and economically, and the things that should have happened for people who live there that haven't happened, if we were giving it a rating and it gets a low rating, what does that have to do with the color of the skin of the guy who's mayor? Isn't the real problem that the political class doesn't perform for the people?
Correct. And there's only one party. Basically.
Yes. So isn't that what needs to be fixed? Wouldn't it be historic to have honest government that delivered for the people?
Yes. That would be a historic.
Wouldn't that be better history than worrying about people's skin color? I feel like we've gone astray with all this concern about people's categories.
Yeah. I mean, it would be better. I think you really have to start with multiple parties that are fairly co-equal in order for there to be.
To make sure there's a market of ideas.
Right.
Yeah,
and Hartford does not have that. Neither do the major cities. All the major cities are very much the same, loaded with Democrats, and they're attracted to the urban centers. That's the way it is, and the cities are run like fiefdoms.
And what's the purpose of a fiefdom? Why the person who's running it as a fiefdom? Why is he doing that?
To attract, keep, maintain, and use power.
So it's all about power.
It's all about power and money, basically.
We're talking to Bruce Rubenstein. He is, did I say it right?
You said it right.
I'm going to mess it up. I want to make sure I don't. Rubenstein, he's an attorney. What kind of law do you practice?
Personal injury. Somebody gets hurt in a car accident, or if you buy a product and you get hurt with it, I sue the manufacturer, that kind of thing.
Is that a good system?
It's this kind of system that Abraham Lincoln enjoyed. He was doing the same thing before he became president.
Yeah, I'm not casting aspersions on it. I'm curious if, because people tend to get upset when they hear that some ruling just happened and somebody got a ton of money because some product hurt them, say. But I say, look, that's what we have instead of, we're not supposed to have regulation and government trying to control us. We're supposed to have a market through which people can go and seek redress if they've been harmed by recklessness.
And the market is a jury of 6 or 12 average citizens who will listen to the facts and render a decision. That's much better to me than having, like you said, one person or some government person render a decision.
So what do you do politically right now? Do you have any, are you on any boards or panels or committees?
I am the chair of the Internal Audit Commission in Hartford. It's an autonomous body.
Mm-hmm.
We do not report to a mayor or a council. Our budget is automatic, so they can't screw around with us.
Where's the money come from? City dollars?
From the budget, from the taxes that people and businesses pay.
So you're part of the government, but you've been given this autonomy structurally.
Correct.
So the money's there automatically each year.
Correct. And we audit every department and investigate allegations of theft, bribery, and the like.
And is this separate from city auditors?
We are city auditors.
That's what you are?
Yes.
Okay. And what is going on in the city? What do you guys observe in terms of how the city's being run?
Well, that's a very broad question. In terms of the departments, they could be run better. They were better now than they were before under Mayor Segarra, for instance. However, having said that, they're not bereft of problems, and historically, that's why they need auditors that are autonomous and are not beholden to the powers that be, because that way we can render reports that are objective, that are fair, that are evidence-based, and that are realistic without fear or favor.
A couple of years ago, I was talking about something going on in the city. I can't tell you the details. It was too long ago. But somebody called up and got in the middle of it, and he said he was an auditor for the city. And I couldn't quite get my head around it because he was speaking so honestly on the air about what was happening.
Oh, well.
Would he have been part of what you do?
Yeah, we have five auditors, and there's an internal audit commission of three members, and I'm one of three, and I'm the chair. So the auditors report to us. And the person that may have called might have been one of the either one of the three commissioners or one of the five auditors.
Yeah, it was fascinating just because of the, as I said, the honesty and directness in answering questions without regard for political. He didn't have that fear, that the trepidation of speaking publicly, which I guess is a structural thing because you folks are autonomous, huh?
We are autonomous. That's the way we were set up. It was a deal struck in 2001 by the remnants of a Republican Party that once ruled Hartford and the Democrats that were ruling Hartford. And it was in the middle of some scandals, and they had a deal. And one of the deals was that they were going to have a audit commission and an audit structure that was going to be autonomous, that could look into things, audit things, investigate things without fear or favor.
We're talking to attorney Bruce Rubenstein, and as you heard, he gets unusual insight into the finances of the city of Hartford. So we have to take a break. I want to give you a question to think about and answer when we get back, which is, if you had a magic wand that would allow you to change structural things in the city, what is the biggest thing that needs to be fixed? And we'll talk about that when we can. He's looking totally perplexed and baffled, but I know he'll come up with a good answer before we continue on WTIC.
It's the Todd Feinberg Show, live from the NJ Diet Studios on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Yes, our guest is Bruce Rubenstein. He's an attorney, but he's also in the auditing department for the city of Hartford. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
So I gave you the proposition of a magic wand to change anything in the structure of the city of Hartford. What would it be?
Well, what it would be, if I had a magic wand and could wave something, I think I would wave the horrendous violence and murder rate in Hartford, which is far worse than when Mayor Bronin took office almost 8 years ago.
Well, that's the symptom. But what would be the thing that you would change? Because this magic wand will change the structure of the city. So if there's a constitutional issue or whatever, you can erase the cause.
Well, the cause will probably be guns and drugs. And some of us think that the penalties for crime are too low, and that there has to be more emphasis on tougher prison terms.
So the weakening of laws for that kind of crime that you're talking about over recent years has been a mistake, you think?
I do think that. And the weakening of the police force, when Bronin started, we had about 460 cops out on the street. We now have 380. So our personal protection in the city is much less than it was before. And there is very little presence of cops on the streets.
Today.
Today.
Post-COVID.
Giving criminals the
free rein.
Free rein and the idea that they're not going to get picked up.
Yeah, so that seems to me deliberate on the part of Democrats who think it's more important to virtue signal to constituencies that they're not going to arrest their children or something. Do you think that's what's going on?
I think what's going on is that he did it for budgetary reasons, too. I think what it is that if you have 100 less cops, that's 100 less cops you have to pay salaries, fringe benefits, and the like. And Hartford right now has about 100 less cops than they need.
So you think that's been deliberate as opposed
yes.
to...
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind it's deliberate.
But there are problems in other police forces.
Yeah, but I'm concentrating in Hartford, and it's deliberate. There's also less health inspectors than there should be and less home inspections than there should be. And there was a big article in the print media mm-hmm. about that recently. This was all done deliberately to help with the budget because...
So you're saying Mayor Brown is deliberately stripping down the size of government, not financially, but in terms of personnel and services delivered for the purpose of making ends meet.
Correct.
Without having to, I guess that would mean not attacking structural things that are causing it to be too expensive.
Yes, and if developers that are wealthy come in the Hartford and they want a tax abatement, there's the money that he's saving by not having enough health inspectors or cops or food inspectors will go to these developers by way of tax abatements.
Say that again.
If you save $10 million by not having enough employees, mm-hmm. you can use that $10 million to give to avaricious developers that want to come in and build a building but want a tax abatement so they don't pay taxes, and he's got enough money by what he's doing.
He's got more to play with to get what he wants. And why is development so important? Why are those buildings? Why would he rather not have cops and have the streets be more dangerous for citizens, but have more skyscraper-type buildings going, you know, high-rise apartments?
Because if you connect the dots, you'll see that many of those developers gave him money for his campaign.
So they're payoffs. It's the circle of handshakes.
Yeah, and many, he's like a lot of other politicians that when they're shaving in the morning and looking in the mirror, they're humming hail to the chief.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you have. And these people that are developers have the money to be able to fund them for future endeavors.
Because what you're describing, I think, is a national problem.
Correct.
In cities and also in state government. I mean, the whole thing seems to operate under that mirror theory that you just... That's what I imagine Ned Lamont doing and Joe Biden doing. They're just thrilled with where they are in life and what they can do to... make sure they either keep or enhance the power they have. It takes precedent over everything.
Any politician would want more power than they have.
Well, sure. But I would think that if I held one of those jobs, I would also want to do great things. I would want to be able to redesign the way housing happens so that people can have ownership, for example, and come away with switch sides. You know, not be on the rent paying side, but be on the ownership side. I would want the cities to be thriving and not to need the police because there was so much peace breaking out.
Hartford has the worst ownership of houses in the state. 75% of the population of Hartford rent, which is the highest in the state. And what you want is unlike what most politicians want.
And is that because politics, there's something in its nature attracts the most feeble-minded people?
I think politics attracts people that were raised by overbearing parents and they feel that they need power themselves because they never had it as a kid.
So they grew up without enough power and they're trying to make up for it in their adulthood, in
Correct.
Your mind.
Correct.
That's interesting. I love that analysis. Bruce Rubenstein is our guest. He's an attorney in Hartford. He works, as you heard, with the auditing commission in making sure that money is not misspent. Is that the right way to describe it?
That's the best way to describe it.
How are we doing on that?
We find stuff all the time.
Misspending is routine.
Misspending, thefts, you name it, we find it.
Thefts as in people?
As in stealing.
Like what happened in West Haven, that kind of scheme? Or?
Yeah, except we did an audit of the COVID money coming in from the feds, and it was clean.
You mean nobody took any?
Nobody took any.
So,
but right now there's a couple of investigations involving money. And we'll get to the bottom of it. And there's one or two that are being investigated by the authorities that we caught. So there's stuff going on all the time.
That's good. All right. Yeah. This is a good conversation. Bruce Rubenstein is his name. If you have a question and you want to call in, feel free. 860-522-9842. I know this isn't quite as tangible as some of our conversations, but you might have knowledge of something that Bruce is involved in or something he talks about, and you might want to ask a question. So just feel free to do that if you wish. We'll pause for news and continue on WTIC.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Download the free Odyssey app and like WTIC today. Then listen anywhere, anytime.
WTIC continuing our conversation with attorney Bruce Rubenstein from Hartford, trying to get some truth out about Hartford. And if you have any questions or comments to what you hear, feel free to call in 860-522-9842. Brian, you're on WTIC with attorney Rubenstein.
Hello. Hello, Mr. Rubenstein.
Go ahead. Oh, this is when you need the headphones. Sorry. He's got to put his headphones on so he can hear you.
Okay.
All right, they're on.
All right, go ahead, Brian.
Hello, Mr. Rubenstein. Actually, he was my lawyer back in 1994, and he's a very great attorney. Very great.
Wow.
Thank you.
Well, at least he was back then. Are you still doing so well?
I'm a little more decrepit now.
Okay. Well, I just got a question on is there any good Republican candidates to be able to run for mayor of Hartford? I mean, I always notice that we never have any good young Republican, you know, candidates. I was wondering if you would endorse anybody or get behind anybody to actually run.
Well, we're not supposed to endorse. If you remember the audit commission, we are prescribed in the charter that we can't give money to candidates because we may have to investigate them. And that would be a conflict.
But why do you ask that question, Brian? Why do you think Republicans might be the answer? I think Republicans don't tend to run or succeed in cities because there's such a predisposition towards Democrats.
Well, because, being born and raised in Hartford, I mean, Democrats basically always ran Hartford. And each time a Democratic mayor takes over Hartford, it's like crime get worse and worse and worse and worse. I mean, I actually helped Eddie Perez on his campaign worked very closely with him, and I seen firsthand how crooked they all are.
And the politicians.
Oh yeah.
What do you mean when you say that by by crooked? Can you give us details on that?
Well, one time I actually went to a dinner that they all had, and it was great. I was young, but after all of them hugged each other and kind of agreed, once I got in the car with two of the politicians I was with, I mean, they were just talking so much crap about the people. They were just, you know, deciding to help. And actually, one of them said a statement like, you know, these people think we get elected to work for the people. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, so it sounds like you guys are on the same wavelength, Bruce, in terms of what Brian's saying.
Yeah, I think part of the problem for having a city that's rampant with violence and crime is the fact that there's a one-party rule. And in Hartford and many other cities, it's been a one-party rule for a long time.
But what Brian's describing, I think, is that there is nowhere to turn. If you understand what the problem is, how do you break the hold that corruption has on the city of Hartford?
Well, it's going to be very difficult. There is nowhere to turn until such time as there's competing parties or there's politicians that are
standing outside of that.
Standing outside of that and willing to make a change. And every now and then there are politicians that try to do that. Unfortunately, with Mayor Bronin, he's taken the easy way out, and the violence and the murders were less than they are now. I think we have about 30 murders already in Hartford, and it's not even the end of September, and we're headed toward a record-breaking year, both in terms of violence in the city and in murders.
And what was last year, maybe 24 murders, something like that?
I believe it was about 28 or so.
Okay.
Real quick, I was working last Saturday, and I get a text from my cousin. He lives on Hillside Avenue. And he told me at 3 in the morning they were shooting at his building on the third floor. And literally 2 days later, there was a murder in Hillside Avenue.
Right. I remember reading about it.
Yeah. And Hillside Avenue was always a quiet street, was always one of the safest streets.
So are you seeing things spinning out of control now, Brian? How would you characterize it?
Oh, yes, definitely. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Definitely.
As I said, we're down about 100 cops. So there's much less presence on the street. Because there's much less presence on the street, criminals and those that are prone to violence feel that they have the wherewithal to do whatever the hell they want because there's no one around to stop them.
Yeah. And that's deliberate, the lack of people around, is what you're saying.
That's deliberate, yes.
Brian, thank you for the call. Interesting angle on things, that there isn't political competition. There's one-party rule. There's a monopoly in political power. And that allows the political power to focus on what you describe, Bruce, which is to use the financial might of the city to enhance special interests like developers who give money to people like the mayor.
Correct.
So how do we get from here to there if you want to fix things? It's nice to think about having a political system that's operating with multiple parties, but we can't even get one that operates with two.
I don't think you're going to get one that is a city which has two or more competing parties of roughly equal strength. I think what you're going to see first, if at all, is a one party like a Democratic Party with enough people willing to change within that party the way things are and will rise up and challenge the existing order. And sometimes they win and sometimes they don't. And when they win, they'll make some change. And I think that's what you're going to see or could likely see in the future.
Is it possible that there might be an awakening amongst voters? I think one of the really insidious things about the kind of government that you're describing in Hartford is that it takes away people's drive to be political participants because the mechanisms of government aren't working for them, and therefore the mechanisms of the democratic tools that citizens are supposed to have aren't there. They're all frozen and rusted out. And so you can't, there's no cause and effect in the political machinery.
That's correct. As we had an election for the Board of Education recently last year, and the voting record was abysmal. It was 4.5% that came out and voted for Board of Education voters.
And the Board of Education has no power outside of the mayor. Is that why?
The Board of Education has power within the Board of Education, which is takes care of about half the budget educate minors.
Right, but structurally, doesn't the mayor have undue influence over the Board of
Education?
Yeah, the
mayor has the right to appoint 5 of the 9 members on the Board of Education. And what you have in Hartford, I think, is a great deal of what I'll call Bronin fatigue, in which he's been in office almost 8 years. Very little has been accomplished by him. And people are at a fatigue level, and with that, you might see some unrest, I think, and a change.
But that doesn't mean it might be a change in human being in the office. But what you're describing is a permanent situation.
Yeah, what I'm describing is a change within the office. So you'll have new players within the
playing the same game
within the same party. And the trick will be to try to get people that are less interested in feathering their nest or the nest of friends and more interested in helping everyday people try to have liberty, freedom, and opportunity.
Yeah, okay, good. 860-522-9842. Fred in Hartford, you're on WTIC with Bruce Rubenstein.
Hey, how's it going today?
Thank you for the call, Fred.
Hey, I just want to talk on the gun violence in Hartford. And I know that the police are down, I think you said 100 police officers. But what would be interesting is someone looked at how many people they're arresting with guns and then how many times those people are being released by the state prosecutors back into society.
You mean how many are not being charged and put through the criminal justice system for having committed crimes?
Right. The rearrest for people that have been caught with a firearm is absolutely ridiculous. So, yes, you're down police officers, but the other part of this equation is the state's not doing their job. They're releasing the people back into the city that have been caught with firearms. So now you're saturating the city with people who have the propensity for violence, gun violence at that, and they're not being held accountable.
Why do you think that is, Fred?
Whatever the state prosecutors or the state agenda is, if that comes from Lamont or if that comes from Bronin, I'm not sure.
But it strikes me that Democrats nationally, statewide, city, whatever, are playing the same game, which is they feel that they will lose votes from their core constituencies, like black voters, say, which vote 90% for Democrats. They don't want to arrest the children of black voters and make them unhappy. So their new game is to let everybody go if they can.
Actually, most of the violence that's committed in Connecticut is by whites, not blacks, number one.
Well, I'm not talking about the state, though. I'm talking about city violence. But whatever, I feel like you, if you disagree, tell me why the point's wrong. That's just what I observe, is that they're trying to ingratiate themselves with special interest groups.
Right. I believe that they are. And when you look at that, they're actually putting the community at risk that they're sworn to protect. They're not actually protecting that.
But their swearing doesn't mean anything, Fred. Their promises don't mean anything.
No, it doesn't. And you can see that because look at the escalation of the gun violence in all the 4 major cities, especially in Hartford.
And the vigils don't mean anything. There's always a vigils. When somebody gets shot in Hartford, there's these vigils, and the mayor goes to the vigils and cries along with the family and holds their hand, and that means absolutely nothing. What these people should do is demand from the mayor and the city council increased police protection, number one. And number two, and it is true that we are down about 100 cops, and there's the only way out, I think, would be to increase the budget to allow more cops in the academies and tougher laws so that somebody has to pay the price if they've committed the crime.
Fred, anything else you want to say?
Yeah, that's the problem is we have great laws on the book. We have officers doing a great job in the city of Hartford arresting people with guns. But what good does it do if we keep arresting the same person within 2 years with three guns? The laws are fine.
The laws are fine. The people administering those laws from the mayor on down, I think you're both saying the same thing. They're not doing their job.
No, listen, I'm not saying that more police are not welcome within the city because I think that's a great thing. But if you want to truly solve the problem, the prosecution and the state has to get on board and put these people in jail and hold them accountable for shooting and killing other people.
All right, Fred, thank you so much for the call. Great to hear from you. 860-529-842. We're talking to attorney Bruce Rubenstein. We'll continue on WTIC.
Now, back to the Todd Feinberg Show, live from the NJ Diet Studios on WTIC. News Talk 1080.
WTIC, I love this conversation because, you know, what I'm always trying to do is shine a light on what's wrong and what's wrong structurally. And all the problems we don't have to do with the things we think, I don't think. It has to do with the fact that people who get elected to office don't represent us once they get there. So there's no connection between the stories they're telling us about what they're going to do for us and what actually is motivating them behind the walls of their offices. And we have to fix that, I think, by becoming smarter voters. I don't know how else we can do it.
I think they have to be engaged. If you want change, you have to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, read the paper, and get engaged no matter what political party, if any, that you're involved with or not, or join a interest group. No matter what it might be, and that's how you'll get things to change.
An interest group, any come to mind, that's or a type?
A group dealing with bettering the section of the city that you may be living
okay,
in.
Okay, so like a local a neighborhood group that is fighting for certain things to happen, like improvements.
Right, like lights at night on streets and picking up the garbage better and snow removal and stuff like that. Everyday stuff.
What kind of activity do you see like that? Do you think that people are too depressed about the city to engage?
I think there's 120,000 people. Most people live below the poverty line, and many have to work two jobs, three jobs, when they're working at all in order to make ends meet. And some work just part-time. It's a very difficult existence for many people living in the city, no matter what they are. And that's part of the problem. Some of the solution is economic in a sense, and some of it has to do with education, and some of it also has to do with cultural differences. So that's what we have, unfortunately.
Well, cultural differences have a connection to education, I would guess.
Yes. Yeah. And if you have parents that are pushing you to get an education, that stand behind you, that force you to study for a couple of hours a day, chances are you're going to do that and get ahead and eventually graduate high school, go on to college, and make something of yourself. If you have parents that are missing in action or one-person families, it's much more difficult.
But if you're talking about areas generically, if you're talking about geographical areas, municipalities that are going to be lower socioeconomic status, then there are going to be more of the problems at home that make it harder for kids to learn.
Yes.
We have to accept that it's the job of educators to educate those kids, that they have to have tough standards and have high expectations, not to say, oh, well, they come from a home where they're not well prepared, so we can't do anything with them.
Well, I agree with you. And they have to offer more They have to provide more mental health backup. They have to provide more stuff for kids to do in the afternoon after school. And they have to provide what I call a reason for getting kids engaged and getting parents engaged so that the kids can graduate high school. Right now, the truancy rate, get this, the truancy rate in the city of Hartford in the public school system is 44%.
So on any given day, almost half the kids aren't there. They're out playing in the streets or something.
Correct.
And does anybody do anything about that, or is that
no.
They just keep track?
No, the Board of Education got rid of the truant officers many years ago.
Ah, you wouldn't want to upset the children by bringing them in.
That's correct.
Or the families, I guess.
Maybe that's
the parents
correct.
Don't
they
want
got rid of them for budgetary reasons.
For budgetary reasons.
Who knows why?
So shut down all public services and move on.
Well, that's they believe that it's just going to be bare services like Mayor Bronin is performing in the city because there's not enough food inspectors for the restaurants. There's not enough housing inspectors for city-owned apartments that may be rat-infested. And there's not enough firemen, and there's certainly not enough cops, and that's what you got.
All right, that wraps it up. Thank you for doing this hour. Will you come back and do it again?
Certainly will.
Attorney Bruce Rubenstein, he's on the Audit Commission.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.